In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. It's a powerful moment, isn't it? That anticipation when we wait for someone to speak in a public arena or event. It used to be quite the thing to go along to a speaking event, and even with the interest in TED Talks, I wonder sometimes if we are losing both the desire and the ability to sit and listen to speech without the inevitable graphics display or dramatic recreation. Before Christmas, I had a nasty flu accompanied by a world-class five-day migraine. It robbed me of the ability to divert myself from my symptoms with a book or screen time. My husband suggested, as I grew more miserable, that I look at some audiobooks. He downloaded some, and I lay in the dark, listening and creating visual images of people and places in my mind, imagining scenes and characters. With today's reading, I can't help but place myself in the crowd, watching them watching him. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. When Jesus began to speak with the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," it must have swept over them like a wave. Perhaps there were even some people present who remembered his baptism in the Jordan, the voice from above, the Spirit descending in the form of a dove. It's the third time in Luke's Gospel that the Spirit is mentioned. The involvement of the Spirit in Jesus' ministry reminds us that not even he was completely self-sufficient. He relies on the work of the Spirit to guide and to strengthen him. The Spirit first descends on Jesus at his baptism in the River Jordan, and it claims him, it affirms him as the one who is precious and beloved. In this radical act of God's communication with his Son and with the world, we see the setting aside of the one who will save humanity. This same Spirit drives him out into the wilderness where he is tested. Jesus refuses the ways and the actions that are the wrong choices for the one who will serve, the one who will wash the feet of his friends, the one who will die for others. And in our reading today, we see the Spirit empower Jesus to deliver what we could call his mission statement to those who are listening in the synagogue. The Jesus who refused the false choices of power and glory in the temptation in the wilderness also refuses the temptation to say what people in power might want to hear. In his rejection of false ways that please only ourselves and not God, Jesus affirms that he is saying yes to what God wants of him. He declares himself as an agent of mercy for the poor and downtrodden. He himself embodies the good news to the poor, the release to the captives, the sight for the blind, the freedom for the oppressed, and a new beginning for all. So what do we do with that? Because all of this can be a bit of a challenge to those of us who are not either among the very poor, the completely marginalized, or the dreadfully oppressed. It can be threatening to us to contemplate the turning upside down of the economic structures from which we benefit. And we run the risk of being complicit with the structures that do just that, both in this country and abroad. It takes moral courage to listen attentively to Jesus' words, words that are God's intention for humanity, expressed by his Son in the power of the Spirit. It's also impossible to miss how Jesus begins his ministry by weaving together seamlessly the spiritual and the political in this, the beginning of his public life. The church in this country and in many parts of the world has embraced the setting of mission action plans to consciously work towards clarifying their purpose. Priest and people working together to identify priorities and activities for their particular community setting. Their call into mission works alongside with God's mission, following the prompting of that same Spirit. Saint Oscar Romero said, "Those who have a voice must speak for the voiceless." When Jesus announces the good news in the temple, he is clear that Scripture has now been fulfilled by his presence and his words. Jesus, the Word, the Logos, speaks. And in this utterance, by the word of mouth and by his very self, the work is both begun and in some way completed. The work that is begun is work that continues for us, and we too, in this generation, are called to discern how we can speak for the voiceless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.